The Innocence Project is a US-based legal organization that succeeded in getting hundreds of wrongly convicted people out of prison. The Irish barrister, teacher and writer David Langwallner, who's now based at Prague's Anglo-American University, set up an Innocence Project in his native country in 2009 and made headlines for winning a posthumous pardon for Harry Gleeson, an innocent man hanged for murder in 1941. When we spoke at Radio Prague Studios, David Langwallner first gave me some background on his organisation.
The Innocence Project was set up in 1991 by Barry Scheck, Peter Nuffield and a few other people who were criminal practitioners in America, and they discovered that a lot of their clients who were in prison, particularly those in death row, were saying to them, "I didn't do it." And they talked to a lady called Kate Grimond in Centurion Ministries in Princeton, who had been lobbying successfully to get people who were wrongfully convicted out of prison. And they thought, well, this is a real problem. And it started off initially, and the New York office, which still is in effect the epicenter of the organization where Barry Scheck is and Peter Nuffield are, on DNA questions. And that simply is that the DNA tests that were done 15, 20 years ago are like archaeological, they're way out of, and so new DNA tests and advances, YSTR and low carbon testing, have exonerated hundreds of people in America. But then the project widened, and this is the most interesting thing. They found out all sorts of things that are wrong with the system. Fabricated cases, police misconduct, police corruption, prosecutorial misconduct, fueled by ambition. I must get a result. I'll do anything. I'll conceal evidence. I'll mislead a witness and so on. This is a real problem. And then they found there were things like falsely implanted memory systems, extremely disturbing stuff, where effectively witnesses, particularly children, are coached into having falsely implanted memories. Then there's things like faulty eyewitness identification. And what started off as a movement in America, and now there's one in every American state, has become an international organization. And I was very much instrumental. I came up with the idea of setting up the European Innocence Network because some of the cases I've been handling over the last couple of years have had a strong European dimension to them. We're thinking, well, hold on for a second. This is something that needs to be coordinated on a European level. And I had set up the Irish Project in 2009.
And does the Innocence Project mainly work with live cases, cases that are people who are still in prison today?
Yeah, but my big success so far is a dead case. And I had to resist my project telling me not to take it, and because I was responsible in Ireland for the first posthumous pardon in the history of the Irish state, a man called Harry Gleeson, which is a major issue in Ireland and raises a whole set of everything that's wrong with Ireland, both then and now. And we have some historical cases, but the main thing is to try and get over the line people who are alive.
I understand also that part of the project involves getting law students involved.
Yeah, it's really changed my attitude in a lot of things. I said to a judge friend of mine in the Court of Appeal, I said, listen, I've got this 23-year-old Lithuanian student in my Innocence Project. You should just put her in the Supreme Court tomorrow. She's much brighter than all of them put together. And it's changed my mind because young people, A, the mind is sharper. I mean, experience is very useful for judgment, but the mind isn't as sharp. B, they devote a lot of their attention to one case. It's actually, the whole experience has slightly changed my working methods as well, which is you should only take on one or two tasks at a time. Otherwise, I mean, a lot of barristers consume themselves with doing seven or eight different things, and therefore they don't do them as well as they should. And if you're in the Innocence Project, we assign to a particular student caseworker, in a sense, carriage of a particular case. And that improves them.
And on what basis do you choose your cases? In a sense, do you have to kind of conduct your own case prior to accepting somebody?
Well, it's like the myth of Sisyphus or something. It's like rolling a rock up a hill, undoing that which has been done before. It's extremely difficult. It's like 100-to-1 shot or 1,000,000-to-1 shot. So you've got to, within the structure of the Irish Project, find something that wasn't known at the time that changes the goalposts, or something that was known at the time, the true significance of which wasn't appreciated, to get it back into the court system. And there was quite a lot of that in the Gleeson thing, and there's some of it in others. But unfortunately, we get a whole volume of cases, and it's depressing, because sometimes, like, there's this lady who's in prison, I won't mention her name for confidentiality reasons, she was accused of sexual abuse of her children, but we think she's completely innocent, but we don't know what we can do about it. And the difficulty becomes that the work is profoundly depressing at one level and very emotionally draining, simply because what you're trying to do is do the impossible, And a lot of the time you're committed to failure. But sometimes you're successful. I would like to try and lobby so that people understand what goes wrong with the system from the beginning. And so we don't have to as much do this at the end. In other words, if the Innocence Project provides an educational tool to train police officers and prosecutors as to proper levels of conduct and judges and judicial officers, that's an accomplishment, you know, to prevent all of this happening.
And roughly what percentage of the people that come to you do you accept?
Well, we have a process of assessment. We have a desktop review, quick review, and then we share that at a committee on bank meeting. And then we work out whether we can do anything with this case. And that might involve collecting all the documents, the prosecutor's file or whatever we can, what's called now in the Book of Evidence, or whatever we can collect. And then seeing from that, is there anywhere to go? Now, cases collapse at different stages. Sometimes someone says, I mean, someone came into us and said, well, it was manslaughter, but I didn't murder him. We got, no, you know, it has to be factual innocence. And then cases collapse as you go through the process of review for the purpose of ascertaining whether and to what extent you can do anything with it.
And at a personal level, what do you get out of your involvement in the project?
It's made me, I think, a nicer human being. The barrister cast of which I'm part of has tendencies towards arrogance, which I'm not oblivious to, of course. But if you see people who are in such anguish and pain, not only are they in a prison cell, and I have done a lot of criminal work, so it's not like I lack the empathy skills, but they have the added burden of being wrongfully there in the first place. And I've met some people in very bad situations. So I think it's humbled me and changed me. I didn't set out to get that out of it. I find that the work very emotionally rewarding. I find that what's been done is a contribution to humanity, and it's led to a lot of papers I've written educationally about lawyers and a documentary I'm supposed to be doing about lawyers. What good do we do? What bad do we do? I mean, I regard corporate firms as basically criminals in some respects, in terms of what they do to the planet, to humanity. And a lot of lawyers are crooks. A lot of lawyers are fabricators. A lot of lawyers have no ethics. They think they do, or they play the game. It's a game to them, the justice game, as Jeffrey Robertson QC says. But this stuff is kind of pure and clean at one level. And I think what I get out of it, apart from it humbling me, is I get out of it a sense that I'm doing something worthwhile, even if I'm killing myself financially and physically in the process.
In recent times, there have been quite a few podcasts, documentaries about people who are wrongfully convicted.
Yeah.
Does that help you? Does that help when it heightens awareness among the public?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of documentaries, and there's a lot of journalists associated with the project. And there's a kind of real crime appeal. I wasn't really aware of this at the beginning. I mean, when I took the Gleeson case, for example, in Ireland, and had to persuade my committee to take it, I didn't realise there was a whole literature about it, a whole fame attached to it, and then a whole afterlife attached to it. All of that is good because the press are on our side. And really, I think I just want to compliment the press in general about this, because the legal system is not necessarily a temple of justice. I've reached that shattering realization at all sorts of levels. It will convict an innocent person. And then it will, as in the Birmingham Six or Guildford Four, and there are many other examples in Ireland, it will do its best to cover up its own corruption, incompetence and stupidity. And the literature of all the cinema and documentary shines a light in these things, because journalists tend to be tenacious and they don't let go of certain things. But on the other hand, the culture of celebrity with the Innocence Project, I feel a little unsettling, you know, because it is an important human rights issue, but it's only one of many human rights issues and one of many I'm interested in and have written about.
You were telling me, David, that you moved to Prague last August.
I did, yes.
What brought you here?
A combination of circumstances. I was absolutely physically exhausted because I was combining teaching the project and practice work at a very high level and doing a lot of travel. I've been doing too much travel since I've been here. So I needed a break and also my academic development as well. And I found it hugely refreshing. It's a beautiful, lovely city. Culturally sophisticated. It's a fabulous place, the Anglo-American University, and it's been a rewarding time for me. The other thing is that that the European network is in Milan now, and we're going to, I think, have an office of the European network in Prague. And I'd like to spend a lot of the rest of my career, apart from writing papers and doing representation, doing international innocence work. And Prague is a useful place. Plus, the other thing is, my father's Austrian, and my relatives are in Salzkammergut, and it's 4.5 hours away, and I can go walking and swimming. And as you get a little older, those are important things to have.